Better late than never, as they say. You're tuned to Strange Arrangements. I'm not going to try and fall off the chair too many more times tonight. Usual bag of mixed goodies tonight. Lots of spoken word wedged in between, so should be pretty entertaining. Kick things off with something by the Chad Mitchell Trio. And, geez, where's my theme music? Oh, there it is. Yeah, that's better. That's why I couldn't get into the groove. That's lots better. All right, kids. Now we're ready. Now we're rocking. Chad Mitchell.
And
what did you learn in school today, you dear little boys of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boys of mine?
I learned that Washington never told a lie. I learned that soldiers seldom die. I learned that everybody breathes. That's what the teacher said to me. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school.
What did you learn in school today, dear little boys of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boys of mine?
I learned that policemen are my friends. I learned that justice never ends. I learned that murderers die for their crimes, even if we make a mistake sometime. And that's what I learned in school today. That's what I learned in school.
Study hard. What did you learn in school today, dear little boys of mine? What did you learn in school today, dear little boys of mine?
I learned that wars are not so bad.
I learned of the great ones we have had.
We fought in Germany and in France.
And someday I might get my chance.
Something smells.
Transplant, Sounds of the 90s. I don't know, maybe shouldn't have gone to that track. It was a little mellow after the opener there. From the Top, Chad Mitchell Trio, and then some old punk stuff that sounds surprisingly fresh 20 years later. Thin Bread, Clit Boys, Myron Thread, Malacca, and really liked all of it. Clit Boys, We Don't Play the Game, Thin Bread, Shit Pile, and boy, is that the truth. After that, some more Crime, Serious, Really Serious, and also Code Opera from Some More Crime, and then Consolidated with For You, America. And now, let's get back to our sponsor.
What you're about to hear may indeed prove shocking and offensive. Let this serve as a warning and a disclaimer. If you are overly sensitive to vulgar terminology, I strongly advise that you fast forward the tape. Like everything I touch, this recording is on the cutting edge of societal evolution. For example, women in combat, see, I told you so, gays in the military, that may have a nice ring to it, universal health care, I am committed to furthering this goal. I really get no satisfaction out of saying anal sex, me so horny, anal sex, me so horny, and justify the means. Well, let's set the record straight right here. The cure for unemployment equals more taxes. The cure for the recession equals more taxes. The cure for the budget deficit equals more taxes. The cure for illiteracy equals more taxes. How many times do I have the right to say...
happens to be the title of this recording.
Federally subsidized abortion. This is no laughing matter, my friend. Fetal experimentation. This was no accident. Anal sex. Never, folks, in my wildest dreams could I have imagined just how exhilarating, fun, and emotionally rewarding this experience would be. For example, women in combat, see, I told you so, gays in the military, that may have a nice ring to it, universal health care, I am committed to furthering this goal. I really get no satisfaction out of saying, anal sex, me so horny, anal sex, me so horny, and justify the means. Well, let's set the record straight right here. The cure for unemployment equals anal sex. The cure for the recession equals anal sex. The cure for the budget deficit equals anal sex. The cure for illiteracy equals anal sex. How many times do I have the right to say...
That happens to be the title of this recording.
Cool. CD player just went down. Wow, this is really getting good tonight. Now let's see if we can use the other one. Hold on.
Thank you. if Jesus came to your house. If Jesus came to your house to spend a day or two, if he came unexpectedly, I wonder what you'd do. Oh, I know you'd give your nicest room to such an honored guest, and all the food you'd serve to him would be the very best. And you would keep assuring him you're glad to have him there, that serving him in your own home is joy beyond compare. But when you saw him coming, would you meet him at the door with arms outstretched in welcome to your heavenly visitor? Or would you have to change your clothes before you let him in? Or hide some magazines and put the Bible where they've been? Would you turn off the radio and hope he hadn't heard and wish you hadn't uttered that last loud, hasty word? Would you hide your worldly music and put some hymn books out? Could you let Jesus walk right in, or would you rush him about? And I wonder, if the Savior spent a day or two with you, would you go right on doing the things you always do? Would you go right on saying the things you always say? Would life for you continue as it does from day to day? Would your family conversation keep up its usual pace? And would you find it hard each meal to say a table grace? Would you sing the songs you always sing and read the books you read and let him know the things on which your mind and spirit feed? Would you take Jesus with you everywhere you'd plan to go? Or would you maybe change your plans for just a day or so? Would you be glad to have him meet with your very closest friends? Or would you hope they'd stay away until his visit ends? Would you be glad to have him stay forever on and on? Or would you sigh with great relief when he at last was gone? It might be interesting to know the things that you would do if Jesus Christ in person came to spend some time with you.
The veteran hound Rover has eaten the poisoned ragu intended for Fido. He is lying dead mid-stage with his paws folded. Fido enters and sniffs him. Lie still. No twitching. Fido sings a long aria extolling the virtues of his dead friend. The dog's voice quiet and softly on. Softly, I said, get your bloody claws clipped. It's a sad scene, not a ruddy tap dance.
Sound story number one, The Neighborhood Freaks.
Running the time on the inside. Got just a few seconds left. Just a few seconds left. Strange people. People born just a little different than you and I. Are you ready?
It started up last night. I'd taken the kids to the carnival, and we all got back around 9. Now, I wanted to water the lawn before I went to bed, but Artie Davis had borrowed the sprinkler. So I went across the street to get it back from him, and I saw the light was on in his garage. Inside were Artie and his wife, June, Sam Lawson, and Reverend James. They were talking about the new people in the neighborhood, and they were pretty worked up.
People in this town just don't want them here. They want them out, and from the word that's around, they'll do about anything to get them out.
Everyone was upset. They had been since these people moved in 2 weeks ago. Sam Lawson said there was no reason we had to put up with this. He said these people are freaks. He called them garbage.
They're garbage.
They're just garbage, he said.
They're just garbage. And there's no reason a garbage like that has got to intimidate decent people because they think they're defenseless.
And even Reverend James didn't have a kind word to say about these new people.
Ignorant, repulsive, and evil.
We just don't want them here. And that's what it's all about. Get them out of here. They don't belong here, and we don't want them here.
Well, this afternoon things hadn't calmed down too much. The whole neighborhood was on edge about these new people. Artie Davis said they didn't scare him, but they scared his wife.
They don't frighten me, but they do her.
Artie said his wife June had a dream about these freaks last night, and he wasn't going to stand for it. In June's dream, one of these freaks tried to make June look into his eyes.
Get me to look in his eyes, and I wouldn't do it because his eyes were real.
But June wouldn't do it because the whites in his eyes
were
real
big. And they were shiny, like.
And they were shiny, like the devils or something.
It's real strange, it's unusual, because I'll tell you what, you look into her eyes and you know you can see the devil.
Early this evening, the four of us gathered at my place to decide what to do. June stayed home because Artie said she was frightened. All day long, Artie and Sam had patrolled outside the house the freaks moved into, and the freaks never came out. They just stayed inside, which was strange in itself. Reverend James arrived around 8 o'clock. He was still upset about the situation.
It's disgusting.
But he had an idea.
I would get me 100 good men, give them each a baseball bat, and dare one of these freaks to stick his head over the edge of the sidewalk.
Well, that didn't sound too bad, but the rest of us couldn't figure out where we could come up with 100 men.
Man, listen, I know at least 500 men who would be only too happy to serve. Happen to be all Christians in my church that I had in mind.
Still, we wondered if 500 men were really necessary.
Then make it 25. Make it 10 men. Make it 5 men.
So we talked it over and decided that just the four of us could take care of things by ourselves. On our way, we stopped by and told June what we were going to do.
I feel like I'm sitting on pins and needles, just waiting.
Then we checked to see that we had everything we needed.
All we need is some good old-fashioned guts and morals.
And so, at 10 o'clock, we marched on over to the freak's house.
One at a time on the inside. Got just a few seconds left. Just a few seconds left. Strange people. People born just a little different than you and I. Are you ready?
We were ready for anything.
We're going to get ready. We're going to get set. All right. Look. Look through the doorway.
From our position in their front yard, we could see them moving around inside their house. We tried everything we could think of. I think they knew we weren't kidding around this time, but they wouldn't come outside. Sam thought maybe we should try setting fire to the place or something, but Reverend James pointed out that that would be destruction of property. So we waited. but by 12 o'clock it started to get cold and we were hungry, so we came on home. But tomorrow night, we're going back. June says she'll pack some food for us to take along. Sam's bringing his portable TV set and some blankets. Reverend James is bringing the baseball bats again, and I'm bringing the beer.
Thank you. forgotten now. She'll always wear a frown, except of course when neither would call. Oh, she's weaned in wine and nag, and always hear her nag, until at last she drives me up the wall.
Up the wall.
Up the wall. Oh, it's all so nice in our house. All the fun in me little Paris girl. Oh, it's all so nice in the night house. Oh, the doctor and the nurses treat me well. Oh, the job sure got me down. They worked me like a crown. I couldn't seem to get ahead at all. Oh, the more I got through, the more there was to do. Until it's laughing at me up the wall. Oh, it's all so nice in our house. All alone in my little parasol. Oh, it's all so nice in our house. Oh, the doctors and the nurses treat me well. Oh, the kids sure got me down. One night like the ground, all day quite here and low. Then sisters all day long, see me going strong, until at last they drove me up the wall. Oh, it's all so nice in our house. All alone in me little parasol. Oh, it's all so nice in our house. Well, but the grog sure got me down. My sour as I were crowned. My thoughts had never seemed to want to stop. I'd drink away all night. I looked at flame and sight. Big elephant drove me up the wall. Oh, it's all so nice in the night house.
We've been pretty lucky. We've gotten a couple pretty good shows in the last couple nights. About a week ago, we had a three-hour dance band. I don't know what you'd call it. It'd be equivalent to a rock and roll band, so we'd just sit in a club and drink for about 3 hours and listen to the band and get all nostalgic. And last night, we had one, too, and when that thing came over about the air, the weather canceling, really, everybody had a pucker factor, and I didn't enjoy the show too much. I think I've told you before, we have a real good relationship with the pilots. On the last week, we've had to have the last 10 days, we've had to have seven night extractions. These things are really hairy. And those guys, man, they're outstanding. They're unbelievable. You know, I had to go up and take out Team 3-3, Major Rocher. He's Cavalier 6. He's a Charlie Troop Commander. And I we raced down and rigged up the birds for the McGuire rigs. And unless we get two birds, and each one will pull three men on these McGuire rigs, 120-foot ropes with Swiss seats on. The guy snap themselves in and just get them pulled out when he can't land on a sit-down LZ. We got out there, and the guys had broken contact and checked out the area. I had a couple of blood trails and drag marks, and when it gets at night, you don't start going around checking that stuff out. And they found themselves a pickup zone. They got this Nighthawk aircraft with a humongous searchlight on it, and he went down low level and just, you know, flashed his light on. He found a LZ, and my God, that was an LZ. I don't know how the hell Major Osher got into it, but my people And I said, okay, Major Rocher, it's going to be a sit-down, you know. Let's go down if you think you'll make it. And he says, roger that. And he just, you know, told him, okay, you talk to the bird with light on the LZ. And I says, okay, you got my position. I'm going to swing in like a traffic pattern. I'll be coming in low level. I'll decide the LZ. Just keep your light on and guide me in. Yeah, I says, roger that. I come around, you know, 150 degrees. That's the best way. I got a little wind down here. Should be able to make it all right. Major Rocher comes down and whooping down there low level. And Jesus crumbs. I couldn't believe that place. In the daytime, that would have been a hairy one. He's just nice landing. Just whoops it up, pulls back the stick and just level, just freeze it in the air and just drops it down about 4 feet. And it's on a damn angle of a hill in the bomb crater, and he just sets one skid down on the edge of this, the other one's up in the air, and I'm hanging out the bird, having the guys, pulling the guys in, and threw a couple of them, you know, right, damn near threw them across out of the bird. I was so damn anxious to get the hell out of there. And I just, when I was in, gave it up through the intercom, and he just lifted it off, and no sweat, so... We got back here pretty good. Right now, this Cavalier troop that supports us out of Phuc Vinh here for Divardi in Fuquang province. They got a captain good there, and every time he calls up, he answers telling airlines anywhere, anytime, how many birds you need. He's a really good guy. I've been getting him these last couple nights. He hasn't gotten too much sleep because he's in charge of their operations. And he's gotten, you know, he leaves there about 7:30, 8 o'clock, and about, you know, 45 minutes later, you know, Talon's in contact, and Jesus, my heat jumps through his butt. I have to admit, those pilots there, they'll scream and get the screaming minis about night extractions and night contacts, and they'll say, never again. You people, you know, just blow your claymores, and we don't make house calls and tell them to move around out there. We ain't gonna come get them. And as soon as that comes in, we're sitting in the club one night, and the phone will ring, and either Al or I'll get the call. And they'll just, you know, look over and get my eyes on it. They'll line up the club and get down there and just light the fires and go. They're real good guys. They've got themselves some real hairy scrapes. I don't know. I hope this thing sounds all right, because I'm not going to be monitoring it on a rain back. I'm trying to make another tape real quick and send it to John. I was going to take 2 hours off last night and write a couple letters and send a couple tapes, and it's just that. So I'm going to have to finish this one up. Again, don't sweat it. I know what I'm doing. I really enjoy this one. It's a great company. It's a great outfit. And tell Lizzie, don't talk to Tom Peterson. He doesn't know what the heck it's about. This stuff like feeling like brothers and just want to stay over there and all that stuff. Yes, there's a feeling, but this company is all volunteer, and I'd say about 75% of it are draftees, and they can't stand it. They just want to spend the year and get out. Anything they get over here, dining and dining with them a cup of coffee, that's their feelings. They go out and do the job because they have to. They're outstanding people, but there's nothing like them. The whole unit is what we call the Lifer Association, or often for soldiers. Very few are. There's one Sergeant E5 that's talked to me about it. He's about the only EM in my platoon, and there's none in the second besides the two platoon sergeants, so there's only about 6 career soldiers there. These guys do one heck of an outstanding job. Showing away the Irons are working out real well. And we got presentation of the Irvine Airborne over there during TET. And this is really ridiculous. We went over there. We got invited over there. And their idea of drinking, you know, that you drink when you're ordered. And it's damn major. And we had, like, glasses as big as malted milkshakers. And they had little fruit juice glasses. And they'd look and say, bottoms up. And boy, that third time, I was about ready to drop my cookies. And thank God that was the end of the party. One of Major's is drink, you know, what can you do? And so we were kind of hanging low there. Another thing about that dinner, you know, it was outstanding. And all the Vietnamese food, this Nick Mom, and I don't know, they had noodles and rice and mushroom and chicken and cabbage and chicken, and I don't know, there's about 4 or 5, 6 different, you know, things. You got the little bowl in your chapsticks. And, or what was that? No, chapsticks. And this kid worked out real well on that chapsticks. I couldn't believe it. Al and I went over early. And they came and picked us up. And Cam Griff's brought a Jeep over a little later. And we're sitting there, you know, working out the old chapsticks. And Cam Griff's walked in and gave his both the weird look like, what in the devil? And he was a mess on him. It was an outstanding meal. And that was the first kid food. And we told him that their cook could come over and cook in our mess hall anytime he wanted to. That worked out well, huh? Impressed them, and they pinned this little pin on us, whoopee-doo. And it worked out all right. It was a drunk evening, though, man. Both Al and I were just blown away. Well, that's about it. Nico and I gotta get back to work, see if I can squeeze in another tape here. Says, John, I don't know when the heck I'll mail them. I still got those pictures there. I said, we'll send it about a day later on that last letter.
Production promo compilation, Jay Allison with the Neighborhood Freaks, great, Kingdom Scum, Isel Rubin BK, Mew Misons, blah, 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 and more blah. Anyway, it's time to take a break. I'll be back in about 2 minutes. Going to do a little technical thing here, so check you in a second.